Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And it's time for Brain Junk After Dark. We've got all these really cool subjects that we've kind of collected that are definitely of a more anatomical nature. And if you're in the younger set, you will notice that this episode is marked explicit. This is your last warning.
I feel like we need like a sexy version of our theme song. But then I thought about our theme song and I don't think there's a way to make that sexy.
Oh.
Yeah. Start with our normal theme song. Record scratch. Bow-chicka-wow-wow theme song.
Exactly.
Changing it up, parents. Please pop into the room if you heard the Brain Junk bow-chicka-wow-wow theme.
Okay, so do you want to hear about gender-bending squid or cuttlefish first?
Must I choose, really?
Yes, you must. You must choose.
I'm going to go alphabetical then, please.
Oh.
Cuttlefish.
Okay, cuttlefish.
Did I throw you off?
No, you didn't at all. Well, the cuttlefish, okay, so this is a weird trip that started with an Instagram post I saw about a female squid wearing fake testicles to ward off amorous males, and I was all, do they carry around a couple of sea anemones in a strategic place or what? So,
yes, oh yes.
Well, say you're a little male cuttlefish, and you want to make moves on a lady cuttlefish, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's a big guy guarding her after they mate. So here's this cool thing about female cuttlefish is they mate with multiple males when they're fertile, and then they kind of pick and choose. They're trying to get, you know, that best mix, that best blend of what's going to make the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Survival of the fittest.
Male cuttlefish will breed with a female, and then she will change her patterning so that she's kind of brown and white, like almost kind of this weird grid pattern. And then she'll have a white, bright iridescent line that goes along her fins that are on that long tube of her body. And that's her way of saying, that was nice, but we're done.
I'm just not that into you.
Yeah, not anymore. We had our thing. It's over. Swipe left. But the male cuttlefish will often hover over a female because he's trying to make sure that nobody else is going to move in on his territory.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a small male cuttlefish and you have no chance of fighting with the big one, what they sometimes do is they change their coloring from this bright red and yellow to the female coloring.
Crafty devils.
They put on a nice frock. I just, the video, oh my God, the video with the cuttlefish, it's this giant male and he's looking, his coloring is like, I am so proud of myself right now. And there's this little female hiding in the rocks underneath him. She's just down there. And this little guy, he comes up and he's got his bright coloring and he tries to, you know, make some moves. And the big one is like, no. And he, and they will attack each other. Like they will tentacle and bite at each other.
Yeah.
And so he kind of drifts off. And then you slowly see his whole posture changes. He pulls all his little tentacles in and he makes himself look a little more shy. And then his coloring just goes brown and white and he just slides right up. And they show the male, the big male, looking in his direction like, oh, no, she's not interested. And just lets him just, he just slides right underneath. I mean, like he physically touches this big male as he slides underneath. And is just having his way with the lady right there.
Let this be a lesson on toxic masculinity to you, fellas.
Right? You know, it's not just the big guys that we like a good sensitive man. You know, a nice soft gamer boy who knows how to change his colors.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty slick, huh?
Nature never ceases to amaze and surprise me.
No. Okay. So we got the cuttlefish who's putting on, you know, the female colors so that he can do what he needs to do. Well, in squid, it turns out that male squid go crazy when they get the scent of freshly laid eggs. Mm-hmm. So they gathered up some of these freshly laid eggs. They put them out there under the water. The males caught the scent and they go from very mild-mannered squid to like rage machines. They start fighting with each other and attacking everybody.
You're like, buddies, be cool. It's done.
I know. Well, here's the thing. They saw this happening and researchers from the University of California, well, they thought, maybe what's happening is the guys are like, hey, if one girl's laying eggs, maybe somebody else is in the mood, right?
Sure.
So they all roll in. Well, these inshore squid, ones from the Eastern Pacific Ocean, bright white, opalescent rainbow stripes, because, you know, squids, they're always changing all these really cool colors.
Mm-hmm.
But they noticed that this bright white stripe on the middle of the back, like if you imagine like right down the middle of the squid body, it was only on females.
Okay. Squid skunk.
But it wasn't all the time. Well, it turns out that that stripe is exactly where male squid have a kind of similar stripe, and that's where their testes are.
Okay.
So we don't exactly know why the females are doing it, but they're thinking it's maybe to ward off males who don't know how to hear the word no.
All right. So yeah. It's the reverse of the cuttlefish.
Exactly. So all the males are going crazy in the breeding ground and the girls are like, I'm a dude. I don't want to fight.
Just one of the guys.
So I'm going to swim by here and let's all stay calm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like in Shaun of the Dead when they're like, we have to be zombies to get through this, you guys.
Exactly. So she's not like the other guys. I mean, for real.
Wow, that's unexpected and very crafty on both the cuttlefish and the squid's part.
Yeah, I'm finding there's a lot of things that female critters are doing to thwart male critters because they've got this thing about that penis that they just want to share it with everybody.
Yes. Yep, once that spark is lit for them.
Yeah, kind of like your Romans. Didn't they want to share their penis with everybody?
Yes, they did. Would you like to join me in 3rd century AD? This is going to be England, though. The Romans were a big deal in England at this time.
Okay.
Think just south of Scotland, pretty far north in England, near Hadrian's Wall. If you paid attention in history, you can tune out for about 30 seconds. The rest of you, please stay with me. The Romans had conquered much of the area, but those pesky Picts in Caledonia. So just that area north and into Scotland, the Picts were hanging on tight. And so the Romans had built Hadrian's Wall. It was about 80 Roman miles, or 73 of our miles, across the wide part of England between Wall's End on the River Tyne and Brownness on Solway in the west. They don't just have like Michigan in England. No. Everything is a long title.
Yeah.
Anywho, it was 12 feet high and there were about 9,000 soldiers in that area.
Wow.
So it is a very rich archaeological environment. May 2022, archaeologists found some graffiti, which we know is a part of Roman life because they found it in Rome and we've talked about it too.
Right.
This one features a crude carving of a penis accompanied by a phrase that basically translates to the shitter next to the name Secundinus. And it seems to have been etched out by a Roman soldier to insult a comrade. It was discovered by archaeologist Dylan Herbert, by the way, who is a retired biochemist from Wales.
Oh.
So scientists do know how to retire well. That's fun. The Vindolanda Charitable Trust is responsible for the excavation in that area, but they rely on unpaid volunteers to assist. So if you'd like to have an archaeological adventure, look them up. Oh. That's how Herbert got involved, apparently. But the area he was working in had a stone that was getting in the way and was a tripping hazard. So envision a 16-inch wide, 6-inch tall stone. And he's like, guys, I think we should move this. Is that cool? And they're like, sure. So that is how this eponymous discovery was made. Phallic carvings aren't uncommon in the Roman Empire, but this one is particularly deeply carved. So they infer that because of the depth of this carving, there was a lot of time spent on this and some definite emotional energy.
Every time he's at the wall and he's at his post, he's just like scraping another layer.
Damn, Secundinus. Yeah, this is the 13th carving found in that area, and only a quarter of the site has been excavated.
Oh my gosh.
In June 2021, a year ago, a carving of a naked horseman was exposed. His member was exposed in the carving as well. And normally, this is more in the nature that they find, actually. Normally, those symbols mean good luck or fertility. So the insulting nature of this recent find is what's surprising about it, that it's insulting and not celebratory or more like our common culture, the modern equivalent of our social media trash talking, is what the article said.
I just think all these bored guys on 80 miles of wall.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Oh, they found in Kent, which is all the way at the other end, bottom right corner of England. And this is also that previous article was Life Science, by the way. Sorry, Life Science. I forgot about you at the front because I was excited about this funny topic. But Life Science is super into Roman penises. So they also reported that a silver penis-shaped pendant was recently discovered in Kent, 1.2 inches long with a tiny ring so you could hang a cord on it. And it appears to date back to like AD 42 to 410. They said that amulets like that are frequently found throughout Roman Britain and were often worn by children to protect them from evil and also appear to have been popular with the Roman army.
Oh, see, now I would have thought that an amulet like that would be worn like maybe like a pregnant woman, you know, a woman who wants to get pregnant, or guy who needs a little Viagra.
Yeah, no, it's more like wait till you see my dad.
Oh God.
I don't know. Sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening to this. I'm gonna be saying penis more than I ever have in my entire life put together on this episode.
You're welcome.
You were warned in the beginning, though.
You were. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about, so this is straight out of Idaho and Boise State University.
Okay.
Jesse Barber and Akito Kawahara. So they knew that tiger moths jam bat sonar.
Tiger moths jam bat sonar. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so they are creating ultrasound that, you know, makes it so the bats can't really zoom in on where they are flying in the air. And they wondered if hawk moths, those related to tiger moths, could do the same thing. You know, this is scientists going, hey, that does a cool thing. Does this also do a cool thing?
Mm-hmm.
So they leashed hawk moths with fishing line and a drinking straw.
Okay.
And then they played recordings of, you know, the hunting bat sounds and found that the moths were also making ultrasound, but they weren't sure how. So they got themselves really high powered, you know, slow motion, zoom in sort of video camera. And the moths have big scales on their claspers, which is their genital area. And they vibrate them very quickly and create ultrasound to jam bat echolocation.
So this grant discovered penis music, moth penis music?
Well, not just penises, because females and males both do it. So
oh, sure.
They
okay.
discovered that moths are shaking what they've got to protect themselves from bats.
They are shaking what their mama gave them, huh?
Mm-hmm, they're like, woo, and you can't see me. So...
I can imagine the giggling in that lab when they connected what was really going on there. And they're like, this is going to be an interesting report to write.
Wow. I can't wait to write that paper. Oh, I didn't get the title of that paper. Oh, it just is hawk moths produce anti-bat ultrasound. I'm so disappointed in you guys.
I know. Life Science does a much better job at titles. Do you want to hear mine or do you have a little more?
No, I don't. Hit me with the title.
So this is my third Life Science article of the day, team, but clearly they're of like minds. This one is titled, People Picking Penis Pitcher Plant Poses Problems. Say it 10 times fast.
Wow. That. Are you a speech therapist? Do you need a new thing for your kids to say?
Speech therapy for adults.
What was that again? Could you hit me with that again?
Ready? People picking penis pitcher plant poses problems.
Penis pitcher plant. Okay, now I'm focused.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Are these the things that look like very anatomical?
They do. So this is a Cambodian problem. And Cambodia, if you've ever seen Lara Croft, the first one, mm-hmm. that is in Cambodia, and it's beautiful, yeah. and amazing, and lush. And so one of the things in that lush, beautiful environment is the Nepenthes phocorensis. And there are two kinds of Nepenthes. The Nepenthes holdeni grows more commonly around the country, and it is shaped sort of like a German beer stein with a rounded bottom and kind of a flatter top. And those are more common. You find them, and they don't look quite so inappropriate. Mm. But the Nepenthes phocorensis is much more rare. It's more mountainous and southwestern Cambodia. And that one, when it's young, looks like a penis. And then as it matures and gets older, that top part of the plant shifts up and opens up the plant. So that's why these are amusing to people. But the thing that they're doing is, oh, and there's another aspect to this, which is also very awesome. It's not just that it's silly and tourists think it's funny to take pictures with them, which it totally is, and which the government welcomes. They recognize the amusing nature of this plant, and they please ask that you just don't pick them. Take your selfie, move on. So if you're in Cambodia or you're touristing there, be funny, but leave them in their habitat. But here's another interesting part of this. They are carnivorous. They survive in soil that has low nutrients. Those mountainous regions have less organic matter. And so it becomes just less nutrient dense soil. And so they supplement their diet with live insects. So that's when they mature and that top comes open like a lid, and they have sweet smelling nectar that apparently smells like candy, and it attracts the bugs in, and then they fall in and they get digested by the hungry plant.
Okay, so now Beckett has sent me pictures of these, and it mm-hmm. looks like an erect, circumcised penis, and they are so veiny. It is mm-hmm. not, I mean, like you're, yeah. it's horrifying. It looks it like very inappropriate people are hiding in the bushes with only one thing sticking up.
Small, inappropriate people. Yes,
it's so exactly. troubling. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, due to the reduction of natural habitat in Cambodia, these very inappropriate flowers are becoming more rare. And then when people pick them,
no, don't
they
do that.
Are funny.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Come on. We need the joy of this obscene plant. Everyone.
I need to know that somewhere in the world there is a dick plant. I'm sorry.
Yes. These are the things that the world needs right now, everyone. Things can be kind of dark, but this is the funny kind of dark.
It is the funny kind of dark. Mm-hmm. I have something that's slightly less funny, but is super interesting. It's the most extreme version of honey, I have a headache.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, like the guy's like, hey, you want to get it on? And she's like, no, I really don't. So in 2017, Raseem Khalifa from the University of Zurich, he was out doing some field work, and he's watching moorland hawker dragonflies fly around. Saw two, they're flying very quickly, and then all of a sudden, the one in the lead crashes to the ground, like, meow, boom, like an airplane going down.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And the second one kind of flew around observing the accident and then left. So he goes over, and as he approaches, he sees that there's this dragonfly flat on its back. It looks completely dead.
Like it just spontaneously died in the sky.
Yes. And he realizes it's a female right about when she flips over, looks around, and then flies away.
Is the coast clear, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. She was pretending to be dead.
No, I have to wash my hair or anything like that. No time for subtlety.
She's like, dead. And then he left.
Well, that was effective then.
Well, it was. And so he watched 31 male-female pursuits. Females faked their death 27 times out of this 31 pursuits that he watched.
Wow. They are definitely just not into it.
No, not at all. And males were fooled 21 times.
Two-thirds of the time, fellas.
Yeah.
Maybe they get just no means no.
No, they do not understand. There is no consent because, okay, and this is the problem. So in hawker dragonflies, males will mate with multiple females. They do not help take care of the eggs. And the worst part is that their penis can scoop the sperm of another dragonfly out of her body.
That is weird and kind of a jerk move.
Well, and if she's laid eggs and then he does this grab and try to pull sperm out, there's nothing there, but he will damage her internally.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like killing damage if, you
know. I fully support the plain dead lady dragonflies.
Exactly.
Wow.
31 dragonflies that he watched, every single one of them were a female. That's probably how he found them. He's like, oh, there she is tending her eggs. She starts flying. He keeps watching. And then the male is like, hey, baby. And she just croaks it.
Wow. Okay. I support that. I get it. So, nature is very aggressive.
So aggressive. I mean, I was telling Chaz about all of these and he was like, I really don't like men anymore.
Yeah. Yes. That's alarming.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that our brains have sort of meandered in the same direction because there is also damaged innards in my next discussion.
Oh, no. Are we ending on a downer? Are we talking about ducks? Please tell me we're not talking about ducks.
Nope. I would say that this is not a total downer. Okay. And it's shocking. And yeah, let's just get started.
Okay.
You be the judge. Okay. At the end of this. All right. We all know what a sea cucumber looks like, right? It's
yes.
A slimy, squishy cucumber in the sea. It's got little pokies sticking out. It's actually kind of cucumber sized. It's a weird thing.
They're super squishy. They used to be in the touch tank at the Seattle Aquarium. And that was my favorite thing to hold out because kids would be like, what is that? Because they're so squishy.
Yeah. Their texture is amazing. And not in the best way, at least for me personally.
I agree.
I'd like to introduce the pearl fish. Oh. The pearl fish is sort of an eel-shaped fish. It's a little smaller, I think, than the sea cucumber. Its head is wider, and then it narrows and tapers down to its tail.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sea cucumbers' orifices. So sea cucumber orifices also play a part in this tale that we are telling.
Oh, okay.
It breathes and farts and does all kinds of things through its butt, its derriere.
Oh.
The pearlfish comes into the story now. And the pearlfish sometimes is looking for a place to cozy up and hide till the coast is clear because the seas are not safe for little things, little squishy things especially.
Mm, yeah.
And so the sea cucumber is a surprisingly desirous hiding place for the pearlfish.
He's so soft and squishy, so cozy.
Right? Yes. And you don't have to have clear waters or good vision to successfully navigate this. What the pearlfish does is it gets into a vertical position, kind of cruises its way along the sea cucumber, waiting for the little smell or the poof of the fart from its mouth butt. Once it finds that point, and the sea cucumber is not unaware of this occurrence. The sea cucumber can sense pearlfish is coming. Oh, crap. And it tries to hold its fart breath in. I don't even know how to talk about this orifice. It tries to hold the fart because it does not want what's about to come to happen. But it, so good on you, sea cucumber, if you've got great sphincters. But not always successful. And so once the pearlfish successfully discovers the orifice, it will do one of two things. If it decides that the orifice is wide enough, it will shoot in head first. It's going in, man. If it feels like the opening is a little bit narrow, which presumably probably happens a lot, it shimmies in backwards.
Oh.
So pearlfish is winning right now because it's hiding from its whoever was preying upon it. It's cozy and warm. And now the pearlfish does not act like a good guest and leave early. Pearlfish hunkers down and decides to have a little snack on what's inside. And what's inside is reproductive organs. So the pearlfish hangs out and snacks on sea cucumbers' gonads.
That feels rude. That is so rude.
Yes. And you would think this might be the end of the story, right? This is a sad tale of really bad guest behavior. But it gets worse.
Oh, no.
The good side of this is sea cucumbers, their organs come back. Takes a couple weeks, but they're coming back. So it's fine. It's hard to say that's fine, actually. Still, it's bad.
I'm sure it's fine. It feels like it should be fine. It's not fine.
Insult to injury. Sometimes it's a multi-capacity, multi-fish capacity situation.
Oh, no.
neck. You can apparently those cucumbers are squishy enough.
They're very stretchy. Who knew?
They are. So more than one might be in there. No. And because they're in there and it's cozy and things are close, one thing leads to another. Pearlfishes make baby pearlfish inside the sea cucumber.
Do they leave them there?
Well, eventually they probably come out or the sea cucumber dies. I didn't think about the answer to that question, but this is all.
That is so tickly.
Yeah. And I just kept reading and I'm like, no, this has to be like, they go in, they hide, they get out. Nope. Oh, they're going to eat. Okay. Oh, a babies. Oh, ooh. So here's the thing about sea cucumbers. They have the ability to eject their innards at sort of an explosive speed in a defensive manner.
Yes.
Should they be concerned about what's going on around them, and they do not choose to do this. When pearlfish come along, I don't know why. Science does not know why. If you think you know why, by all means, please share with us. One biologist once found 15 pearlfish in what he describes as one poor bastard of a sea cucumber. and the pearlfish are not awesome to everybody. They are going to try to do this with other bivalves like oysters. So they are opportunistic.
Wow. That would be so tickly, don't you think?
Yes.
And it is kind of interesting because that was one of the things you tell the kids at the touch tank. You'd hold up the thing and they'd start touching it. And then you'd say, and by the way, when sea cucumbers get upset, they throw up their insides and the children would fall away screaming. It is funny that they are being irritated, but they don't do anything. Yeah, that's a very parasitic sort of thing, but it must not be. So the cucumber goes and talks to his doctor and he's like, yes, you have 10 pearlfish in your anal pore. If you find it bothersome, then eject your insides. So clearly it's not so bothersome that they're willing to throw away their entire digestive system.
Yeah, I would rather let pearlfish have babies and move out than to eject its guts.
Wow. Now, I thought sea cucumbers had like teeth in their mouth butt hole. To,
yes,
like,
that's how I got down this road, actually. I'm like, that's an interesting illustration. And so I was looking up like, tell me more about that. And that's how I landed here.
Oh, so that doesn't, it's pokey, but it still doesn't stop the fish.
Especially if they're, you know, yeah, diving in face first really fast, presumably. I don't know.
Oh, that's troubling.
I didn't feel like I could top that. So that's my last one.
That is, yeah. I mean, like.
I shared this at a party recently, by the way.
How'd that go over?
There was some beer, and so it went over about as well as you think. There were a lot of jokes. We were very funny.
It wasn't like at a tea party, and then you're like, hey, let's talk about sea cucumber mouth butts, and everybody stopped talking.
Yeah, no, it was actually friends had brought home some beers from a fun brewery, so that seemed like the right moment to me.
That was the perfect moment. Wow.
So all of this was adapted from The Wasp That Brainwashed the Caterpillar by Matt Simon.
Well, I have to say, let us know if you enjoy this, because I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun researching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I only went about, so we messaged these to each other, you guys, of course, like, this is inappropriate for brain junk, but so funny. Look at this. It's a lot of our texts and messages. And so I only went back 2 or 3 months in our messages to find these topics.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine over the span of our 4+ years now, what's in those messages.
So much material where you're like, we can't talk about that.
Yeah, we've decided we can. We just warn you first.
Yes. Once in a while, you know, don't worry. We'll go back to ants getting kneecapped. No problem.
That sounded so mob. I really like it.
It did, right?
This was fun. I do think brain junkies, if you've got something weird and gross, if it's a gross illustration, please warn me first.
You can lead with, I found a thing. Like, I sent something to Amy yesterday and I was like, look this up if you dare.
Maybe not at work.
Yeah. Not. Oh, yeah. This is NS. What? NS. Not safe for work. NSFW. Yeah. Wow. Well, do you want to slap down an outro?
Yeah, let's do that. Although we are on Facebook and Instagram as Brain Junk Podcast, this sort of content generally isn't, but I do assure you that it is still amusing and engaging. So pop on there, Brain Junk Podcast, Facebook and Instagram. And if you are listening to us regularly, please like and subscribe. We are everywhere where you find podcasts. If you're not listening to us regularly, jump in.
What's wrong with you?
I know. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.